We got a full house and we're talking hot topics today. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned into Black Hollywood Live. The beat.
We got no feelings. Feelings.
Check it out, y'all.
Yo, Hugh
Burrow
in the building.
All day.
We be the infamous and murderers.
Shout out to Prodigy, who was hospitalized a few days ago in Vegas after Mobb Deep's performance for complications caused by sickle cell anemia. Most of his fans know that Prodigy battled with the disease since birth. The exact causes of death had yet to be determined, and the family would like to thank everyone for their respect and just give them some privacy. So shout out to him. He's 42 years old. Rest in peace.
Word, New York. That's definitely missing a legendary. That's straight New York right here.
Yeah, hip hop definitely took a hit.
That is straight New York. Mobb Deep is straight New York. It gets no harder. It gets no better.
And honestly, it's like going through their catalog. I was like, what song to play?
But man,
it's so many.
Yeah.
And that one with Lil Kim.
Oh, I know. But I was like, there's beef in that one, so I was like, let's keep it pure. What up, y'all? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lies the Beat. It's your boy DJ Jesse J. I'm here in studio with my queen to be.
You already know I'm in the building.
Hey, we got a special day, y'all, because it's a day filled with hot topics. So
hot people.
So, you know, queen always talking about her. Sometimes she don't show up to the show because she's doing her hair.
Yeah.
We got the one and only Miss Rosa Acosta. Thanks for coming in studio, boo.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I'm actually happy to be here for the first time. I hear about you guys too.
Yay! Because I'm always like, oh my god, I'm gonna miss the show.
Just know that she missed the show for a good cause.
For good reason, because your hair is always laid in B, girl. We got Mr. Carter sitting at the table. You know, I mean, he was a little chatty with some of the topics, so I was like, okay. Let's see what you're going to deliver today. But of course, you know, every week we're bringing artists in the studio, so we got two here. We got Rodrell in the building.
Hey, Rodrell.
What's up?
Thank you for having me.
Dope little video called Any Second we're going to play.
Cool. Thank you.
And I just got to give you a shout out to this jacket.
At Michael Simpson, he's from LA. He does custom pieces, jackets, shirts, shoes.
Nice. Yeah. Shout out to him though.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely amazing. And then we got Mr. Gene Noble. So now Gene and Queen, you guys go back.
Yes.
I like that Gene and Queen.
Yes.
And you also, I mean, both you guys, you rocking the jackets today.
Yeah, that was on this hot day.
No, right. On this very hot day. We fooling you out here.
It's hot as hell.
Okay. All right. So shout out to Prodigy. Rest in peace and condolences to his family. So, you know, I mean, I was like, I want to do like a little bit of a throwback day since we're doing hot topics and whatnot.
Okay.
So we're going to head into our next video here with the beautiful Miss Rosa Acosta in it. Take a look.
Oh, okay. Don't sleep.
That's that. That
the right Trey song.
Where
one.
You going, Trey song?
Yeah,
right
that
there.
One.
Boom. Number two.
She murdered them. Oh, there she go. Don't kill him, bro.
Hey.
Miss Officer, huh?
Looking like Britney womanizer.
Baby, I'm the one you like, yeah. I'ma give you what you like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'ma give it to you right, yeah. Best time of your life, yeah. Oh, yeah. Baby, when you ready, tell her where you get the check. Girl, I know you ready, ain't even got a check. You've been through the worst, let me show you the best.
Yes, bro. You know, right. Hey!
Is this what the Rosa Costa Fitness Plan be like?
No, actually, Queen gave me all these tips before. Hey.
I believe it.
I called her. I say, hey, what should I do?
Okay.
She was like, oh, honey.
Wait.
She'd be like, it's Trey Songz. Oh, please.
She
I eat
like,
him.
She was like, here is. Oh, no, this is the wrong type of cookie. This is the one that you will be.
I love it.
Leave me alone.
I'm so done. Wait, was this a real?
This is a real conversation we had about somebody else. Okay. About somebody that used to be my trainer.
You did say that you will give him
not this kind of panani, but this other one. Like, you will have to go back on your catalog of pananis and get him like the best of the best.
The best of the best. And yeah. he let him hold me just like that.
Yeah. Hey. Baby, if he holding you like that, that's a keeper.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
that's
shit.
That's real life. Real life.
That's the
Cabinet
Cootie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, how long have you two guys actually known each other?
6 years.
Okay, so that's like real legit family right
2011.
There.
2011. Okay. I fucks with her hard. Don't fuck with Rosa. You get your head smacked off. I fucks with her real hard. I love her. And I love her mother.
Mm-hmm. Everybody loves my mom.
Yeah.
How long have you been living in L.A.?
7 years.
Okay. Oh, wow. So, like, basically...
Yeah, a year after I came, then I met Queen.
Okay. Now, being in the entertainment industry, I mean, so last season we saw you on Love & Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something, like, being on reality TV, something that you were ever really interested? Because you didn't seem fully in, like, you didn't seem like you were fully trying to invest yourself in it.
Right. The way I think, you know, I saw the opportunity was not that I was going to be on Love & Hip Hop, but that my brand, Cosa Mia, was going to be on Love & Hip Hop. And so I have to go and represent for it because my dresses can't speak and they can, you know, do their own thing. So I have to go and bring them back there. So I have never really, I actually have declined Love & Hip Hop the first two seasons because I am not interested in like putting, honestly, my life is like pretty damn good. And it's really not something interesting to the public. Right. There's no drama. I have been having the same two friends for the past, you know, 10 years. I have the same friends. I don't have beef with anybody, not that I know of. you know, my life is, like, pretty amazing. I have built, like, amazing relationships with, you know, as far as, like, work and everything. So it's really not that I didn't want to be in there, but I just feel like whatever I do, I want to be the best. And I don't think I'm going to be the best reality show person because I just don't have that drama element in my life.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. However, now that I have a brand and that, you know, there is like with music videos, actually, the Nana video, I decline. And I say, I don't want to do any more music videos. I'm trying to transition into other things. And it was a huge video, obviously. Mm-hmm. They booked another girl, and she canceled last minute. So, you know, we have a call time. I was going to – what I say is I'm going to address all the girls in my workout line for the video. And around 9 p.m. the day before, we have a 7 a.m. call time. Trey called me and said, "You're gonna have to do this now." I mean, the girl is not showing up, and she, you know, she's all the way in Miami.
So you transitioned from being in the video to just styling the video.
I just wanted to give them my pieces for, you know. So, and I ended up going and, you know, wearing my, like, the outfit that I'm wearing and some
Body
of the stuff the other
Costa.
Girls are wearing. Yeah. It's from my line. So, you know, even the fact that I don't want to do music videos, now I am willing to as long as I can wear some of my own pieces and, you know, there's a good look for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot, you know, things are changing, and I have said it before, I don't want to be in reality TV. But if there's an opportunity for my brand to be on national TV and be seen by millions of people every week, I will make an exception. Well, am I going to be there putting my life and, you know, stuff like that, like, on blast? Probably not. But in order to do Love & Hip Hop, I have to showcase some other stuff that was happening in my life. It was kind of like an exchange, and I thought it was fair.
And they didn't put, you didn't have a bad edit. Your edit was real cute. It was like, hi.
Well, yeah, you know, I had an agreement with Love & Hip Hop, you know, and they
respected.
There were things that I told them. These are the people that I would like to, you know,
interact with
during the show. These are the people that I have, you know, no desire of. There's really no point of me being in the same scene with them. Not because we hate each other, but because things can get twisted really easily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they were very respectful, and I would, you know, they wanted something and I wanted something. We give it to each other, and then that's it.
But that's how you run. That's how you work as a boss lady in this industry with reality TV, especially, because you know going into that, you won't have if you that's not in writing, they will produce you however you they feel like producing.
Yeah. No, I mean, there was a you know, one time where they put together a scene, and I have told them, if this is what you guys are going to do, I'm not shooting it. Right. And they just try to blame, and I walk away. Mm-hmm. You know, I just walked out, and I said, you know, this is not going to work. I mean, I already got my hair, then I can go home, take some really cute pictures.
Okay.
Or, you know, we shoot what I want, or you guys just let me go home.
Has that always been a mentality of yours, as far as, like, you know, I mean, if you're not going to give it to me, if it's not going to be my way, if it's not going to be equal, then... you know, I'm going to carry on? Or was that something that you learned within
well,
the industry?
No. I'm blessed to have a team with me, and a lot of girls, I think, that they are managing themselves, and a lot of trouble comes from that, from being a female in the industry, young, not having any experience, and then trying to, like, you know, read a contract and sign things, and it's just bad, you know?
What advice would you give to somebody?
You got to have a team with you. You got to have people, you know, that you cannot do everything, mm-hmm. you know. And I know it's hard to trust people, but there are people there that are out there that are really good.
How do you trust? How do you kind of build that trust with the team?
You heard her say she only got two people that she's been friends with for 10
but
years.
Friends, but really, is your friends your team?
Well, I consider some of the people that I work with, like my manager, my publicist, these people are like my family, you know. They have, like, my best interest at heart. And even when we decide that we're going to do something that it's not, like, the good thing to do, there's a whole plan behind it. And so, you know, we are, like, super connected. And everything that we do, there's a reason behind it. So I just think that I have, like, really good, you know, I have, like, you know, this thing where I can vibe with people. I can sense them. But I also, you know, I'm not going to lie. I got really lucky. Mm-hmm. Some of the people that I work with, they are just amazing. And I seen them working with other people, and I was like, wow, look at that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also hard. I think, you know, it goes both ways. Like, I've been, like, very loyal to the people that I work with. Mm-hmm. And I have only switched from management or stuff like that when it had gotten to the point that I find out something was wrong. It's not, you know, when you're doing good, every manager wants to work with you. Yeah. Of course, you're popping now, you know? But when nobody knew who Rosa Acosta was, then nobody wanted to work with me. So sometimes you got to also, like, take in consideration some of those people that saw you when you weren't really popping, and they were like, yo, I believe in what you got going on, and let me help you out. And, you know, we've been rocking since then.
That's
so
beautiful. That's powerful. Yeah, that's really powerful. I love it. All right, so I want to get into some of your brands that you got going on. So now we have the fitness line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now, where does fitness play into your life?
So, you know, I've been active my whole life. I used to be, I was a dancer. I danced for the only, well, at the time, it was the only classical company in the
Dominican
Republic. And I danced with them professionally for 4 years, but I danced, you know, from 4 years old to 22. And after that, I just didn't want to continue to dance for, you know, a lot of reasons, but I wanted to stay active and, you know, healthy. And so I started exploring other things like yoga and just, you know, gym and Pilates and all this, like, other stuff. And so I really, like, loved it. It's not something, you know, it's not that I was overweight, and it's just that something that it's been with me my whole life. I love it. I enjoy it. And it's kind of, like, effortless. I just do it. I wake up and I feel good about going. I'm not like, oh, my God, I have to go. So, you know.
So you started building
eight years ago or so, you know, a long time ago, before being a fitness model on Instagram, or there was Instagram or any of this stuff. Before this, having a six-pack was a sexy thing or it was cool. I was doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I came out with a workout line because the gym is kind of like my club. So I like to look good there. And I wanted to invest in, like, quality stuff that, you know, you have to wash it every day. If you normal, wash your freaking gym clothes after, you know, you don't just put them back in your closet, like, let them dry and then pretend they clean. You gotta wash them. So because of that, you know, they
ladies and gentlemen,
don't be funky. So you don't want them to, you know, you have to wash them a lot of times every week. I mean, if you go to the gym every day like me, almost, you know, sometimes some people go twice a day. So imagine washing. I mean, I went through like a lot of leggings and things that I bought for $5 and then I threw them in the washer and then they disintegrated. Mm-hmm. I'm like, where are they? I mean, they're not even... I swear to God, there's a lot of stuff that I don't know where it went. I think they disintegrated in the washer. It was really poor quality. So, you know, I created something that was, like, great quality, like, really, you know, fun to wear and different. And so it came, you know, that's how it
And
came.
Now where can everyone check those
out? And it's the name
you can
of
find,
it.
It's called Body by Rosa Costa, and you can find it exclusively at cosamia.com, which is my store.
Yeah.
We are online, and we're also here on Melrose, where? On 7600 Melrose.
Nice. Okay, you better be honest.
And she be working.
Yeah, I haven't been there the past couple of weeks because my mama is in town. But I'm usually there every day. I'm actually going there today, just checking, making sure everything is like running smoothly. Mm-hmm.
What else do we have going on? We're focused on the clothing line. Anything else?
Right now, yeah, I'm like a lot of my energy is like put into Cosamia, and I also have a beauty bar there where so we are kind of like a one stop shop, and we provide one place where you can get your dresses, your lashes. Hair, your lashes, your microblading, like all kinds of like beauty treatments, and plus you can go shopping. So if you have a long day and you need to go out and you need to get your nails done, your hair done, you can kind of like do everything in one place.
A full experience. Yeah, and one last time, what's the website?
It's called cosamia.com. C-O-S-S-A-M-I-A.
All right, so let's continue to talk about it. So now, Love & Hip Hop has just claimed that Keisha Cole has joined the cast.
Oh, shit.
I'm here for it, y'all.
Let's open this up for discussion, people, because Twitter's going back and forth with it. Some people are saying that they think it'll be good for her because it's like a K. Michelle thing. She can come in for a season and a half, just kind of promote her music, then drop an album, bounce out.
I don't know.
Here's why I'm iffy about it.
How are you going to go from your own TV show
back to
being
because it has more viewers?
Okay,
but here's where I'm bothered by it, and that, especially after that, because it's kind of like if you're coming into it, come into it like K. Michelle or Rosa, where you say these are my terms, but you got to bring Boobie back. Like, you gotta bring him on the show?
They're not even together.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Yeah, so I'm like, the deal must have been around.
Wait, so the guy comes with in the whole package?
Supposedly, yeah.
It's the package.
Coming back.
In order for her to come on, he has to come on.
That sucks, man. They don't believe she'll get enough ratings on her own. Like, I mean,
well, they want drama.
Yeah,
it's right. Loving Hip Hop. It's not hip hop alone. So sorry that's her ex, but you know, it's fucked up because. It will be
that's
all good.
Years ago.
It will be nice if she just had a new boo. Yeah. You know? Right. It's like, he's the one that deserves, honey, to be coming into the show because he's the one hitting it real good right now. But now she has to bring this other guy that doesn't really deserve it.
And that's what bothers me with the whole, like, with her doing it. Because
I like Keisha her Cole. On the show. I think that it's going to be good. I think it's good for everybody. I mean, it's a huge platform. Mm. Are you kidding me? Like, millions of people watch this thing every week. And you know, she got music. She just needs, you know,
she needs to remind her people. Agent is like K. Michelle and going to stay on it and not let this Daniel stuff. Because I mean, it just I feel like it's going to get messy because it's like there's two girls that were involved with that. There's Diamond from Crime Mob that would come up involved with him because she was cheating on him with that and broke them up. And then who is the other girl?
Who's Diamond? Hold on.
You know Diamond from Crime? No, Kiffy Buck.
Oh, she's
players.
The one that was with him.
Yeah, at the same time. Oh. And then
she was with Soulja Boy for a long time, too.
She was bouncing between the two of them at that time. So I'm just like, it's just going to be a Love and Hip Hop Hollywood mess, y'all. Like, I'm just like, it's going to be too much tea for me to be drinking.
I hope that she, you know, finds
I hope that it does good for her album.
Yeah. A balance?
Yeah. I mean, give them a little bit of what they want, but... You know,
but keep it cute,
right? And give us
and have
some
her
of
whole project in order, so that she can promote her project while she's on that.
So why wouldn't she bring her other drama, like with her mom and stuff like that? I mean, the only thing I can think of is that it's just Love and Hip Hop. So you know, it is important for them to explore your love life, and this is kind of like the juiciest part of her love life.
Or if it's also to kind of build up her other show, maybe she goes on Love and Hip Hop for a season. We get Frankie sometimes, and then we're like, oh, we want to see more of that.
Because the moms play a really big role on the shows. They do. You know,
they do.
I'm so mad my mom is not
crazy. I
was
about to say they would have loved your mom. Your mother would have been in the, like, are you hungry?
Yeah, that's she's good for that. But I don't, she's not going to bring drama. My mom is like a really nice lady. But I mean, she has a lot, all the elements necessary. She has the messy love life. She has music out, and she has a special, really special mom. So I'm here for it. And I think she's going to do really good.
Sign that check, honey. Yeah. She's also signing a check for Chanel West Coast, who will be joining, which explains the big blow up on Ridiculousness the other day. I don't know if you guys saw it with her and Charlamagne Tha God, where he basically was discrediting her
as a rapper.
Yeah, as a rapper. Which was shocking to me because I thought that they were friends.
I just don't understand why you know. She should be by now just kind of like chill. Like, you know, people are going to say you're not good, like, and some people, you know, some people think I'm cute.
And she bugged out. Like, she
some people think I'm cute and some people think I'm ugly. And I'm just like,
okay.
I get paid either way, honey.
Counting my coins, like,
yeah, right.
Okay, well, the ugly girl counting her coins.
So congratulations to Keisha Cole and Chanel West Coast to see what you guys got going on. All right, let's bounce into it. So she has, I mean, the album.
Man.
I just bought it.
The Week. Yo. All right, what's favorite songs?
I love them all.
Mine's is Broken Clocks.
I like Broken Clocks, too. Would you just go ahead?
All right.
Looking at me.
All right, let's go over here. So have you guys checked out SZA's album?
No.
Or heard anything?
Yeah,
Control?
Yeah. Broken Clocks. I like The Weeknd.
Yeah, Weeknd's everybody's jam.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, she's got, I mean, the writing is incredible. She's an incredible writer.
So she wrote it all herself?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a massively incredible writer. And the vibe is dope.
I love it.
Like, it gives me, like, it's hard for me to ever compare or say anything like this, but it gives me, like, if the millennials could have their version of a Lauryn Hill-esque type thing.
She'll be the millennial Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, and here's the video. It's just the depth. No. Yeah, no. Okay. Right. That's why I said I didn't want to give it that.
Yeah, I feel you, but that's a little spark.
Okay, Jaden.
Honestly, like, I think the album's cute, but I'm not in love with the album. I think it's cute, though. Uh-huh. But what I see what they're trying to do with the marketing of it and the way that I understand millennials, like, you know, I mean, they got watered everything down, but take a look. Here it is. Drew Barrymore.
Why is it so hard to accept the party is over? You came with your new friends and her mom jeans and her new fans, and she's perfect and I hate it. Oh, so glad you made it. I'm so glad you could come back. Somebody get the tacos. Somebody spark the blunt. Let's start the knuckles off at episode one. Bring the gin, got the juice. Bring the sin, got that too. Won't you shut up? No, you're my favorite.
This is Drew Barrymore. Azealia Banks out here talking about she stole her look.
Azealia Banks!
Oh, God.
Okay. Sit down, girl.
I'm not saying nothing because, you know, that girl stresses me the fuck out.
You are very talented, but you're done. You're done.
You ruined yourself. You ruined yourself with your mouth.
You out here biting people.
Fighting at dinners, like, wailing out.
Killing chickens in your backyard closet.
She needs to learn from Queen to build herself up with her mouth. You know what I mean?
Shut up. Everybody's always trying to put a dick in my mouth.
No, bitch. There's only one person trying to do that. If All right. Speaking of putting some dicks in your mouth. All right. Chris Brown and Ray J are they just dropped a mixtape, which it's funny because people were thinking it was fake. Even Mr. Carter thought it was fake. But it is a real mixtape. It's called Burn My Name.
Burn My Name.
I would just burn the mixtape. I tried.
Nice.
No, I mean, look, you know what?
Let's hear it.
It's hard for me because I get why it happened. Actually, like, when you think of these two, and they probably sat down, had a great conversation over a cocktail, and when they probably sit and listen, I would have loved to have heard that conversation, because what these two men have been through in Hollywood, I can't even imagine. I couldn't even put myself through what they've been through. So the idea of it is dope.
Now, but the content,
the execution, yeah, and the content of it was like, okay, but I probably understand a record label probably was like, no, we ain't messing with that. So they probably didn't get anything to back it up with it. So it was a product
they don't
that
need
they,
it.
True, yeah, they don't need
they
it.
They don't need backing up. They have the name and the fans to support the project. So
yeah, I mean, it's like a
really
little bump
need
up there just because Chris Brown's going to release his double disc of 40 songs, Heartbreak.
What, do they have a video or something for this?
No, they don't. It just dropped the other day. And I mean, it's, I don't know. I wasn't really into kind of any of the songs, really. They kind of sound like B-track songs. But they have, it's called Burn My Name. They got 10 tracks on it. Side Bitch, Fuck Them Hoes, Let It Bang.
Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
So, you know, keeping it in true Hollywood form, guys. Mm-hmm. Check the mixtape out if you want. It's on Double XL. All right, Rodrail.
Welcome,
sir.
What up, he's so quiet.
I'm a very reserved person, so it's like,
which is crazy.
You're reserved and you're here.
Yeah.
Have you watched our show before?
I have.
Bring your mic up.
Bring your mic up.
I have, and I've known a couple artists who've been on the show, and then I don't know. This is actually my first like in studio interview.
Well,
like,
welcome.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you for letting us pop your cherry. I really like doing those things.
She does. But everyone else is trying to put something. Yeah.
Be careful if somebody follows you to your car. She's not playing.
And she's she'll playing definitely it. Tug on your hair.
Right. Let your hair down.
Now, where are you originally from?
Oh, from California.
All right.
So Japanese.
I'm part Japanese, actually. Filipino, Hawaiian, Spanish, a lot of different.
You got a shit. You got a bunch of shit in you. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
Now I want to play your song first because I want everyone to kind of hear your sound, and then I want Queen to open up with the questions.
Okay.
All right. So the song is called Any Second. Let's take a look.
That's you with the cornrows. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was 17, with a pair of 23. Used to care about the flashy lights. I used to wanna be like Usher, practice in the mirror. Just when I used to fantasize. With college I would go to with girls I really know you. Frontin' when you broke for real. With that minimum wage, I was minimum saving. Studio money still. Now I'm on the road. All I know for real. Do everything you have to. Life, it don't wait for you. Any second could go for real. This is for the dreamers. Everybody dream up. Every time we link up, it's a celebration. To be alive, chasing my genius time. I used to be scared to follow my heart, cause what were the chances that it could happen for someone like me? Someone like me. Now I
Rodrail, any second. Song for dreamers.
For sure. Definitely.
So what inspired you to write this?
Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to write this and to have this type of video, like theatrical feel? Is that with your your background?
Very artistic. Yeah. I went to performing arts high school in Oakland, OSA. Okay. I actually went to school with Kane Lani and Adrian Marcel. When I was in high school. And I guess I was always this really timid kid, and I used to see people like Adrian Marcel. He was always really in your face. Everybody knew he was going to be a singer. And then me just, like, looking at everybody just overwhelmed. Like, I love to sing. I love to songwrite. I love to write. But I never saw it for myself. I never thought I could actually do it. And then I've been 10 years out of high school, and the last 5 years, it's like, I love this. I just realized, like, it took up all day. Just I was sitting in my apartment and just sing and songwrite on my phone and on GarageBand, and I was like, I really need to take this seriously because I realized it was everything to me. And so, like, the lyrics, I was 17, I was at Performing Arts High School imitating Usher, or and then I was 25 and I realizing, like, or in my mid-20s realizing, like, I love this. Like, I have to give it a fair shot. I have to give it my all. And so, yeah, I wrote the script. I write the scripts to my videos. I co-produce the videos. I try to be as hands-on as possible. So, yeah, I came up with a concept. I really wanted to show the journey of I'm in the studio, walking to the studio. I'm in the dance studio. I'm in the live rehearsal studio. And then the last scene was, like, a white wall studio. It's, like, a more professional-looking, like, now lights on me, right? So I wanted to show the journey, and I think that's what's really special to me is the journey, because again, I didn't really think. I went to school with people who are famous now, and it's like, again, I didn't have the confidence,
right?
You know what I mean?
So the minute that you believed in yourself and you got that confidence, then, like, we all could see it. I mean, when you didn't see it in yourself, it was hard for us to see it. And now that you have it, then it's, like, so obvious, and we can see it, we can feel it.
Thank you. Did you, when you were in performing arts school, what was your kind of, you were imitating Usher, was it that you were wanting to be more acting, or was, like, did you, where did you see yourself?
Yeah, because I could see you doing more acting, like movies. Like, I could envision a bit.
Like, I could see a little Glee-esque.
Yeah. Like, I could see this, like, you don't come off as shy. Step up, and then this music is playing, and they're, you know, dancing.
That's a huge compliment. I mean, I love singing and songwriting. I did acting at OSA. I did a little bit of, I did acting. I don't know, the industry, I guess, makes you feel that, or maybe it made me feel like I wasn't pretty. I didn't have a look. I felt like I always, quote unquote, had swag. I'm from the Bay, you know what I mean? I'm from Oakland, and I feel like I always had style about myself. I knew that my look was very, like, nobody looked like me, right? But at the same time, it gets so overwhelming. I lived in LA for the past 2 years, and it gets so overwhelming. Like, it's not going to happen for me. I just know that I love music and singing and songwriting. I'm totally open to doing a Glee step up. That's a huge compliment. So thank you for saying that. Because, like, again, like, I guess I didn't
think about that.
I didn't think about that in that way. I just know that I love music.
So are you putting out, so what's kind of the mentality? Because we get guests in here, so they either are on, like, okay, I want to put a conceptual project together, or right now it's like millennials, like, single, so I'm just focused on throwing stuff out there and seeing how everyone, what's your kind of?
It's definitely, I took my time, like, so I'm told 100% DIY, 100% DIY. I spent 3 years recording this project, and 100% DIY, that's funding these videos that are not cheap. Like, this was on a Black Magic cam. And so I spent 3 years just, like, writing the songs, editing the songs, doing videos, coming up with concepts. It's definitely a conceptual EP. There's 5 songs that I took, you know, 3 years writing and working on, and they mean a lot to me. One of the videos I'm not even in, which I don't know if y'all got, but it's called One by One, which is just about, I wrote it about Freddie Gray. I was watching Obama talk about Freddie Gray on TV. And so the concept is this young man is graduating college. I went to CSUN to get my master's in music business because, again, I just wanted to learn the business. And it was about Black folks constantly being killed 1 by 1, 2 by 2, 3 by 3. It's a really simple song, and I just repeat those lyrics over and over again. And so I show a young man graduating from CSUN, the Black grad, African Black grad last year, and that actually ending up not happening because he was killed before his moment. And so, yeah, our music and storytelling like is everything to me. And I just know I love it. And I know that, like, I have a full-time job. I taught ninth grade English this year in Oakland, California.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And I was chasing this dream on the side. So my kids were looking at me. Nowadays, it's really difficult because they can add me. I was doing music, so they were adding me on my Instagram and watching me now, even. Like, I can
so
see
you're the
them.
Cool teacher.
Right.
A lot of people think that I'm like 18 or 19, just fresh out of high school. This is, I've been 10 years out of high school this year. And right. So my kids are like,
now that's play to that, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But so that they definitely look up to me, you know what I mean? Like, because where we come from is like, again, a lot of people have dreams of doing music and not feeling like it's possible, or getting out of the hood, as people call it, you know what I mean? And not feeling like there's nothing outside of this. So I just realized, like, I have to chase my dream, you know what I mean? Because I love young people from my community. I have to do this because that would be unfair to me and to them, right?
Do you feel like, I mean, I hear that you're like all these like things like mixed nationalities. Do you feel a big pressure to kind of like, you know, showcase a little bit of everything and embrace all of so many of
your ethnicities?
You know, for me, it's like simple. I'm just Dominican. And, you know, I mean, if we go kind of like back, Dominicans are like, you know, Africans, Indian, and Spanish. But, you know, at the core, it's kind of like Dominican. It's one culture. But then how an artist like you is able to express himself like and kind of like make everybody happy?
I think that's really difficult. Because we live in a time where people want to know you, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was used to people asking, like, the first three questions people would ask me is, like, what's your ethnicity? Where are you from? Not just because of the way I look, but also the way I talk, you know what I mean? Like, those two things corresponding is, like, this dude, we don't meet someone like him every day. And I think we live in a time where people want to know, like, your ethnicity, like, where, like, every single
because
thing.
Because everybody's
you.
Mixed.
Everybody's
so we
mixed.
Want to know, like, what's up? What you got going on? What you want?
And we love
people
boxes.
People
want
to relate to you.
We
people want to relate to you.
And I think that's beautiful. And I want to, again, I want to, like, definitely represent the communities that I come from, the beautiful cultures and ethnicities that I come from. And at the same time, like, I think I have to move carefully, right? Because I think we also, because of social media, people say things like the Tinashe thing happened, right? Like, and that was taken, but maybe she was intending one thing, and then people interpreted
taken way
another
out of context.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah, so I think
we're all very very sensitive in the other side of the phone, you know, other side of the computer.
Right.
So for artists, it's just a lot of people actually feel like they can't speak because anything can be like
misconstrued,
right? So I can see how, you know, how hard can it be for somebody like you that has so many people that you have to make happy, you know?
And especially when you sing and you sound like that, like you have this like R&B-esque kind of, and my people, because Annalise that we had in here, another point, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like when you're hearing something and you expect, and then you see, and you're like, wait a minute, what's your ethnicity? What are the pieces that go together with this?
Right.
And, you know, who are your inspirations growing up?
Definitely
Usher.
Usher, right.
Just dancing-wise. And but I think just the love of music, like taking it way, 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 way back. Just like Donny Hathaway is like my number one. I love spirituals, gospel, and I love R&B, like old R&B. So Marvin Gaye, like... The One by One track is just a lot of falsetto, a lot of simplicity in the lyrics, but with a powerful message, and I felt like that's what Marvin Gaye did. And then, of course, the R&B guys in the 90s, like Donnell Jones. The smoothness with Donnell Jones.
I have a question. Do you incorporate music in your teaching?
Good question. Great
because
question.
I would love to just be in your class.
Right.
The homework, it's like you got to make the homework like rhyme. I'll be like, oh, shit.
You know, actually, the final, so again, I teach ninth grade English. The final was they had to write a song. So 32 lines, right? So a lot of what we did was like, and I try to incorporate creative writing. A lot of English teachers, mind you, I'm teaching in a low-income inner-city community, black and brown youth. A lot of schools are like, you got to teach them the, like, the nitty gritty, like the, I guess you could, people would say the boring stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so I try to incorporate creative writing. We definitely read Tupac lyrics, Kendrick lyrics. Students were able to bring in songs that we analyzed.
They're going to never forget them.
Oh, yeah. And then just the their final assignment was writing a two-verse song, right, about what it feels like to be dehumanized as a person of color, as a woman, as a queer person. And they had to, like, basically write their story in the song, right? So two verses, 16 lines, and the hook. So I taught them the structure. They had to incorporate our vocabulary words. They had to incorporate metaphor, simile, an example of that. They had to demonstrate that, right? Yeah. And so I think I use it to my advantage, to answer your question, like being like...
It's not only to your advantage. It's right. to their advantage.
Yeah.
I tell you something. Yeah. You know, they are so blessed to have somebody like you in their lives.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, obviously... music is your dream, and we will hope that you bless us with your music, you know, at a bigger...
Thank you.
You know.
Isn't she wonderful?
But those kids Thank are you. Right now, like, lucky blessed. And
yeah.
blessed.
And it's funny because...
Hey, if you want to teach me, I'm still learning English, you know?
Yeah.
I'll write you a little song. It's going to be a little messed up, and some things are not really going to rhyme, but... I'm an entertainer,
right.
So I will do
right.
a little choreography. Right. I'll make pop for that.
And we'll
right.
premiere it here.
The little parts that
right.
don't really, you know, are
right.
a little fucked up, like, I'm going to... I'll need something to make it
right.
up to you.
Right.
But
it.
For real, like, these kids are very blessed and very, very lucky to have you. And we hope to, like, learn from you and your music, like, you know...
To help the people.
You know, in the radio and on everything.
I think that's also why I'm so passionate about this, because I feel like when I watch my peers, for instance, Kehlani, Adrian, and Zendaya, like, I've known them since, I was a kid. And, you know, like, nobody, like, a lot of my peers who made it in the industry or that I know, like, they just chased it from after high school or even in between high school. Like, Zendaya was in 10th grade. She got these auditions on Disney, and then... You know, now you're, you know, famous.
So
Disney.
They inspire you, basically.
They inspired me. But I think that for me, my journey was very different. My thing was like, the only way out of this is education, right? My parents were like, everybody in Oakland either wants to rap, be a model, sing, or be a sports player, you know what I'm saying? And so my thing was like, I have this dream, but the only way out for me is this education piece. So I got my bachelor's and my master's.
And it's beautiful how you're able to tie both the music and the education together. That's truly a blessing.
Thank you.
And that's why we need to keep music in schools, people.
Yes.
So
Man.
Keep that pushing. Please. All right, now, Ro, where can everyone follow you and keep in contact and check out your music?
Right. Everything Rodrell Music or Rodrell _music. Like, luckily, my name is... I'm the only me. Like, so if you Google my first name, like, all of my information will pop up.
Dope.
Boom. And if you guys are listening to us, it's RODRAEL.
Yes, sir.
Boom. All right. So speaking of throwbacks, I'm so excited for this because Rough Riders is putting together a tour for their 20th anniversary, y'all. And I'm super excited. Starts up in September. It's going to be DMX, Eve, Swiss Beats, The Lox, Drag On, and Fat Joe and Select Cities. But I wanted to queue up with that just because I'm just so excited that Eve is finally coming out, because I just think Eve is one of the most slept upon female MCs in history. But speaking of throwbacks, last night they dropped this video. The song is by TLC. The song is called Haters. Take a look.
Here we go.
Okay. Oh, I already knew Queen's entire commentary.
Queen.
All those opinions gonna make you fake. Go on and brush it off, it's just dead weight. All that thing that matters that you need to know, you'll only find it in your heart and soul. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Haters gonna hate. People gonna say what they say.
TLC Haters, make sure you guys check it out. They just dropped that yesterday. What you think, Queen?
have no comment. Why you put me on? Because you know, you know my opinion about this whole thing that they're doing. I feel like they just throwing shit out just to get it over with from the GoFundMe thing or whatever. As I was corrected on YouTube, not GoFundMe, but the other money thing that they asked for money on.
Not GoFundMe.
Not GoFundMe. Fucking. What's that thing? Where they asked for money.
Kickstarter.
Somebody was on YouTube talking about they didn't ask for GoFundMe money. It was Kickstarter money, and you. Always, I'm like, yo, so shut the fuck up, yo. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. We gave them money, and I feel like they're just throwing anything out. I feel like the quality of their work that they're throwing out is not 100% TLC, but maybe I'm just stuck in back in the days.
Okay, no, I mean, here's the thing, like, because even this song, I was like, it's kind of like,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
But I mean, if you also go back to some of their stuff is a little, you know, like when you go back, some of it they had that kind of sound to it later. You know what I mean? Later, once Left Eye was kind of giving them the cold shoulder. But this video, I love you. But you can't hate on it because it's on Call Haters. So it's like, if you hate on it, it's like, well, fuck, now.
You okay, a motherfucking so hater, hate, then.
Did you give them money? That's why you're so upset?
I didn't give them a fucking dime.
Okay, then why are you so upset?
Because I feel like it's TLC and TLC. Maybe I have them so high on a specific
okay,
pedestal.
So let's see. Like, we need like some like hardcore TLC fans that actually gave them money to give us their opinion.
I
mean,
I'm $5 that way. I'm not gonna
lie. Have y'all seen the way back?
Yeah,
the way back video.
Yeah, we played it last week.
I'm a huge. I live for TLC.
Okay, so how
yeah,
do you
I love
feel
them
about
too.
This?
I mean, I'm never tripping. I'm not. I was never tripping over it. Like I knew we were gonna get music when we get it. When I heard the song "Way Back," I like I said to Ricard, I like the song. Yeah. Am I gonna spin it ever? No.
You gonna
like,
be in a house? Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
I'm never gonna do that.
Hey, let's go smoke on a blunt. Hey.
Actually, you never know. Maybe I will. No, but like I said, I like way back.
Maybe
it's
with,
like
a, with an edible.
No, bitch, I'm just shrooming.
With an edible.
No, but I said it's a song that if it's on Pandora, I won't skip it. I'll be like, way back, I like, would. All right. Yeah. But I ain't like.
But can we get to the real singer?
But I mean, I'm definitely here for the album.
Can we get to a real singer that's in the building by the name of Gene Noble? I've been waiting patiently to get to Gene Noble.
So make his introduction.
Okay, go ahead.
For all you guys who don't understand what's going on, this man has traveled the world. He has sang with so many amazing people, and his voice is like an angel. I've known this man for a while. I am blessed to be in his presence today.
Come on.
Introducing Gene Noble.
Gene Noble.
We need to turn his mic up.
Turn his mic up, Steve. We can't hear him.
Thank you for that intro. That's amazing.
And full circle, because you just were doing backup with
Usher.
Hey. He be testing the mic for Usher. Hey.
Rub him 3 times and y'all wish him. No, but thank you for coming in studio. Yes. Now, yeah, you're out here going to be. You have some performances going on. BET weekend.
Yeah.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, I'm a BET Music Matters artist, and tomorrow I'm releasing my single. So I have a single release event, and I have a few artists joining me: Duran, Kenyon, Emmy Seacrest, Rose Gold, Dondria, and it's going to be amazing. It's at Project LA. Starts at 8, 6356 Hollywood Boulevard. Everybody should come.
Yeah.
It's going to be the turn up.
Yes.
All right, so the single's called Something's Coming.
Yes, and then I have another one coming out called Never Know.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have two that are simultaneously going to be out.
Now, what was your kind of go-around for releasing two at the same time, kind of?
Well, one is more specific and socially conscious. Something's Coming is... I wrote during one of the many killings, kind of like my boy right here was saying about the Freddie Gray situation. And it was just out of frustration. It was really more to speak to the people that are dealing with the trauma of that, because it is traumatic for us to live in a constant state of knowing that, you know, this could easily be any of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the lyrics are just like, you know, if you weren't this strong, there'd be no need to tear you down. They can't believe you held on this long. They couldn't keep you underground. They've been imprisoning your body, been imprisoning your mind, but the awakening is coming.
Come
everywhere
on.
I see the signs. Come something's on. Coming.
That's real.
So that's what Something's Coming is about. So that was something I had to do just for you know, me. And Never Know is more of like a global kind of radio type of record, but Something's Coming is... you know, a record that, you know, I couldn't even mix because I just couldn't, like, hold it together enough to just mix it first.
No. And I want to play, let's play a clip of Something's Coming.
Turn it up.
Music that represents the times.
You know, if you weren't this strong, there'd be no need to tear you down. They can't believe you held on this long. They couldn't keep you underground. Been imprisoning your body. Been imprisoned in your mind. The awakening is coming. Everywhere I see the signs. Don't you feel it? Don't you believe it? Something's coming now, can't you feel it? Don't you feel it? Don't you believe it? Something's coming, something's coming.
Gene Noble, Something's Coming. Now, this is off your project, The Cost.
Yes.
Where do we come from? The Cost. What was
so,
The Cost?
The Cost basically is just it's talking about the cost of your career, the cost of success, the cost of getting where you want to get to in life, and all the things that you go through on the way. Like this project is really life right now for me anyway. You know, it's dealing with the different sacrifices that I've had to make personally for my career, just the path that I'm trying to get to as far as like what I want to do, and then also not to mention, you know, all the things that are going on in the world right now. So it's a combination of all those things, you know. I mean, I have a couple records that are just talking about, you know, just kind of like getting high just to get rid of what you have to deal with on a daily basis, just when you turn on the TV, and how fearful it can be to think about having a family and kids and all that kind of stuff right now. It can get heavy. So I think that was something that was big for me when I was writing.
I mean, at least you're at a place in life where you can think about that, because a lot of artists can't even get to that thought because they're so in the level of, like, who am I as an artist, or how do I feed myself while keeping, like you're saying, like, if I'm working a job, and then it's like, I, you know, this is the career that everyone on Instagram thinks is my career, but it's really my hobby, and my real career is the education part. So for you, how did you kind of balance that work and play in making it your dream?
You know what? I was really, really blessed and fortunate. I came up in New York, so I came up in
a very,
but it's a very competitive place for musicians and singers. So if you get to the point where you actually are recognized, you've done a lot of homework, you know. So I was fortunate enough to perform at a club that Queen knows about called
Village Underground.
Oh yeah,
where I met a bunch of our friends, our mutual friends, and. And that was where I first got my start. I mean, our mutual friend asked me if I would like to sing for Lauryn Hill.
Wow.
And that was my first job. And from there, it was just, you know, from there it was John Legend, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, Chris Brown, you know,
Usher,
Trey Songz.
What tour was the most life-changing for you?
Oh, wow. A few of them. I think... Linkin Park was extremely life-changing for me because never performed in front of that many people. I remember being in China and we did like 300,000 people.
Wow.
And like even with like your in-ear monitors in, you can't even hear any sound. So that is like that was one of the most crazy moments ever. But I've had a lot of incredible experiences. I love to travel, and I know that I would have never been able to travel the way that I have traveled and at the level that I've traveled at if it wasn't for touring with these amazing artists, you know. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Music is his life.
Yeah. But before the touring, kind of going into your artistry,
yeah.
What have you learned now as kind of to develop yourself as an artist?
I think I've had probably like the best teaching anybody could have is just like hands-on experience, you know, learning what works, what doesn't work, what people respond to, what people don't respond to. And there's a certain vantage point that you have kind of being a little bit to the side as opposed to being right in the center that you can kind of see things a little bit differently and know kind of like, oh, okay, he don't know that didn't work, but I know that didn't work because I can see it didn't work. You know what I mean? Gotcha. Or that worked really well and he doesn't realize it. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff you can kind of gauge and it really does help.
What kind of growth have we had from the rebirth of Gene to now, the cost? Like, as far as what did we want to take the time in between the two projects and kind of focus on?
Yeah, I mean, well, Rebirth of Gene was more kind of like...
I have that album.
Yes. You were a big part of that.
Yeah.
So thank you. Rebirth of Gene was... I was in a place where I had lived longer than my dad, and I wanted to do something to honor my dad. And so it was like a little dark. It was a little moody. I was going through a breakup at the time, so it was all those things going. So the whole thing kind of is in that place. The single Imagination from that project was about like actually waking up and realizing, yo, did this even happen? Was this reality? Like, did it even happen? Because you have that moment where you're like, everything just now changes and you're kind of unsure if you actually had these experiences because they feel so surreal at times. So that's where I was at that place. And now, since then, which, by the way, I was really, really blessed that my project debuted, you know, number 17 on iTunes R&B, just something that I did on my laptop with a, you know, with a microphone traveling around behind everybody. And but from that, I, you know, there was forward motion and then there's stalls and stops and then it's forward motion and then stalls and stops. So that's where it comes to like, okay, the cost. Like you got to be in it for the long haul. You got to pay your dues. You got to do all the things that you think are going to be a little bit easier because you have certain relationships or you can do certain things. You still got to just pay your dues and still, you know, plant your feet and keep moving, you know.
How many times have you written this album?
Well, I mean, I'm actually not really a... I don't take long to write. Like, my process is...
well, that's what I would think. I would think you probably are someone who creates, like, you probably have way too many songs. And it's
like did
well,
you have
I thought
to go
the
back
album
to
was going to go this way.
Right.
But now
like,
that
did
I'm
you
back
have to
from
go back
Tokyo.
To the drawing board for it?
Yeah, you know what? What's happened recently is that a few songs have changed the sound and the shape of the project. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one thing, and now it's kind of, like, evolving into something else, which I'm not mad about. I'm loving where it's going, but I didn't expect that originally.
Is it okay? Is it going to be kind of that world tone? Because as we heard in that that something's on, and then also you have a song with Shaggy and Pitbull out right now, and it's this very world sound.
Yeah.
And your voice on that is everything. It's like a Shakira could get thrown on, and they're like, I'm so here for that. Because I think it's different. I also think that that's where we're kind of heading.
Yeah,
you know what I mean with the sound.
Yeah,
and especially to go from all the R&B to that.
Right. Totally. I mean, I think the what I like now is that I have the freedom to do those kinds of records. Haven't had that record out, and you know, when you get a top 20 record on radio, people are like, okay, well, maybe he can do something.
I will download something.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of expanded me. I've been able to do a lot more records with a lot more DJs overseas, which I'm excited about. I have a few more coming out this year. And you know, in addition to that, my stuff. So my stuff, my actual project is a little bit more alternative R&B, but I have the freedom now to work with other people and do other things.
And not only that, your stuff is being played. If you guys are in Walgreens, Walmart, or whatever, and you hear music playing, he'll be popping up every once in a while.
Thank you. Okay.
Pull that Shazam out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
yeah.
I heard, I'm like, oh, that's fucking Jaden.
NBC Shots Fired.
Yeah, Shots Fired.
Oh, Shots Fired.
Yeah.
Played
if you saw
him
Shots
for
fired.
2 minutes.
Yeah, if you saw Shots Fired, my song Imagination is in Shots Fired, which is an amazing series that was on Fox. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out because it's incredibly done.
But the epicness is that the song played for 2 minutes. Do you understand on television what that means?
That's
like
insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You might get 30, 45 seconds.
For real.
Yeah,
for real.
You get
that's,
2 minutes.
That's the whole song.
Maybe
yeah.
That is royalty.
That's the meat of the song. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was an incredible blessing. Actually, the directors of the show and the executive producers loved the song so much that they created a montage around.
Wow.
The song.
So come on.
I was like, wow, that's incredible.
Yes.
So, you know, and you just, that's, you never know. Like, this is a song that is almost 3 years old. Mm-hmm. That was from my other project. Mm-hmm. And they grabbed it and were like, we have to do something with it. And,
wow.
And then now it's given it a whole resurgence. It's been selling more. It's been, you know, streamed more. So I'm excited about that.
Well, Gene, we would love to help out with that. So do you think you could give us a little something from imagination?
Yeah, can you sing for us?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yay!
Were you ever really here, or is it just my imagination? Mm-hmm. Were you ever really mine, or was it just something that I made up in my imagination?
Yay! Yes. I love him! Yay!
Well. Now, where can everyone follow you, keep in contact with you, and then if they want to check out some of the performances you get going on?
Sure. At I Am Gene Noble. IamGeneNoble. Short for Eugene. So,
mm-hmm.
But at I Am Gene Noble on Twitter, on IG, all that stuff. You can check me out, GeneNoble.com. I'm pretty responsive, so I definitely hit people back and I actually write back and stuff. But yeah, and I have a show again tomorrow, June 22nd, and that is at Project LA, 6356 Hollywood Boulevard. I'm also touring to support my new project, so I'll be doing a tour soon. And yeah, I'll be piggybacking on some artists. I'll be opening for a lot of people, headlining my own shows, so it's going to be amazing. I'm really excited.
Exciting.
About it.
And if you guys never saw him perform in real life, let me tell you something. It is awesome.
No, I mean,
I've been seeing clips on Instagram, brother,
it
so I'm already
awesome.
Knowing. I'm already
you,
knowing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It is awesome. He be having background singers in every goddamn thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Gotta do that. That's where I come from. So
yeah, sure. It'd be a full show.
A full show. Absolutely.
Ooh, well, Gene, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Rod, now, again, where can everyone follow you?
RODRAEL_music. Yeah, so just my first name. Just everything. First name.
You Google
music.
His first name,
yeah.
Everything pops.
Right.
That's a lucky first name to have.
Right.
Rosa, what about you?
At Rosa Acosta.
Say it again.
Rosa Acosta.
Mr. Carter.
You already know, though. You can follow me everywhere at Mr. Carter.
Though.
No, just Mr.
No, he changed it, y'all.
I had to change it back.
Queen.
Hey, you guys already know. You can find me at Queen Wink on Instagram, Snapchat, at Queen Live on Twitter. And for some good motherfucking hair, go to winklux.com. I keep telling you, bitches.
Make sure you guys hit me up as DJ Jesse J. Also, make sure you guys hit us up across all platforms at BHL The Beat on SoundCloud. We got a SoundCloud page, y'all, so join us, subscribe
peep
to
it,
us, and
it.
All of those lovely little things. We want to thank you guys. And if you guys have a video that you guys want showcased on the show or a friend you want on the show, send us an email to BHLTheBeat@gmail.com. Till next week, same time, same place.
Peace.
Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Music Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.